May I have you go ahead and turn to John chapter 15, verse 7. John 15, verse 7. The whole weekend, I hope you're seeing a theme. We're looking at life according to the Word, how we take in the Word, the Bible, how we apply it into our lives. And so, Trin dealt with the input of the Word, taking the Word into our lives. Jeff dealt with parenting according to the Word, how the Word shapes our parenting around the Gospel. I'm going to be dealing with how we hear the Word, how we respond in prayer. Aaron last night, encouragement by the Word, almost forgot him. And then tonight, Chris will talk about memorization, meditation upon the Word, and then tomorrow morning, Bake will talk about the application of the Word. And so, hearing and praying the Word now. And you'll see what I'm talking about here shortly. John 15, verse 7, one verse, Jesus says, "If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." Lord Jesus, help us now. Help our little ones to hear and understand at their level. Help us who are older children, young adults, older adults, help us to hear things that, Lord, we trust will be not only helpful to us, but will help enrich us in our walk and relationship with You, as Your Word certainly does. We ask in Your name. Every time I come to the study of prayer, I am reminded how weak I am when it comes to prayer. And so thinking about that, I wanted to share with you some things this morning that really have been tremendously helpful for me over the years in this matter of prayer. And that is to understand prayer at heart as an ongoing conversation with God. A conversation that He initiates, not me. A conversation where He speaks and I respond to Him. Because it's here that we see this close connection between the Word, where God speaks, and prayer, where we speak back to God. And that's what I want you to see this morning. First, I'm going to lay a foundation and then talk about some practical ways that that works out in our lives. And so, the first thing is just for us to get a good grasp on the close connection between the Word and prayer. I want you to see that there's a relationship here. A conversation. Jesus says, "If you abide in Me." Now, abiding is a stronger word than the word remaining. This is one reason I don't really like what the New International Version does here. It says, "If you remain in Me." And that's okay as far as a translation goes, but abide is a much stronger word. It's not enough that I just remain with my wife, you know, living in the same house and not ever leaving her, but I must abide with her. For us to abide as husband and wife means that there's a relationship going on here, a relationship of mutual love and communication. There's an ongoing conversation of speaking and listening. And certainly that conversation ebbs and flows. You know, it's stronger sometimes and weaker at other times. But it's always there. If that conversation is not going on, it's not really much of a relationship, is it? We'd be living under the same roof, but we're not really abiding in a relationship. And we probably ought to go get some help from somebody, right? To make sure that communication and that relationship is taking place. Living prayer is pretty much the same. It happens in the context of an abiding relationship with Jesus, a relationship of ongoing communication, of listening and responding. I don't know about you, but I suspect you're like me. This is where praying often sputters in my life. When it feels like it's nothing more than me speaking to thin air. You know, coming in before God with my laundry list of things I want to ask for, running through my list, And yet it seems so one-sided. I'm speaking, surely, but is anybody really listening? It's hard to tell when there's no sense of conversation, of hearing and responding. I mean, have you ever had one of those really awkward phone conversations? Right? You're talking and there's just dead air on the other side. Hello? You there? Hey? Hey! But because you're needing some response. You're needing to hear back from them. Many times our prayers before God can feel that way. Prayer can feel like that kind of awkwardness. If we're only having one side of the conversation, we're doing all the speaking and we're not doing any listening. But notice again what Jesus says here. If you abide in me, this ongoing relationship, and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it'll be done for you. Notice the relationship. My words, he says, are abiding in you. Notice it begins, in fact, with his words, not our words. We hear him speak, and we, based on what he said, ask of him. And the order here, I think, is very, very important. Based on what he has said, we make a response. Now, I'm going to get to some practical things here in just a little bit. But for now, just get this idea in mind. Prayer is a conversation initiated by God where he speaks first. And where does he speak? Through his word. My words, he says, are abiding in you. The very words, and Jesus here specifically probably means his own words to his disciples, his own words that he has spoken to them, which are now recorded in Scripture. But for us, certainly, we can see he is talking about the Scriptures. A couple of things here to see as a foundation. And I really do think the first one is good news for us. And here's what this means. First of all, this means I don't have to strive to start this conversation with God. God is already speaking. In other words, I don't have to come before God like the pagan prophets of Baal in the Old Testament. Remember what happened up on Mount Carmel? Elijah has challenged the prophets of Baal, and they're trying to get Baal's attention. So they're jumping up and down and screaming and yelling and cutting themselves. Oh, Baal, hear us! And of course, Elijah is just mocking them. Maybe Baal's gone to sleep. Maybe he's in the bathroom. Maybe he's gone for a visit to his girlfriend. You better yell louder. It all depended on them. They had to wake him up. In the old pagan religions, man was the initiator of this conversation. You had to do something to get the attention of the gods. Not so with us in Christ. Our God has spoken first. Our God is speaking whenever you open His Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says all Scripture is God-breathed. God's very breath. God's very words. Here we have the very words of God Himself. Here we can say not only did He speak in writing the Bible, here we can see He does now speak through this Word. And so when I say that we hear God speak in His Word, understand, I'm not talking about mysticism. Sitting around waiting on God to zap me with some kind of word from out of the heavens. I'm speaking of something very practical. In the Bible, we have the very words of God Himself. God speaks here. So, I can really stand before you this morning and say, I've got a word from God for you today. It's called the Bible. And here God does speak and has spoken. And just like in any conversation, as we enter this conversation with God called prayer, we need to hear what He is saying and then make our response to Him based on what He is saying. In fact, I'll just throw this out here as well. There are two basic responses we as Christians can make to God when He speaks through His Word. First of all, there is the response of faith and obedience. We believe the words He has spoken, and we strive to obey them. Jesus makes that really clear in the chapter before, chapter 14, verse 21. Jesus says, He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, And he who loves me is loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will disclose myself to him. I'll make myself known to him. Look how relational this is. I'm opening the Word. Jesus is speaking His commands. I'm striving to obey His commands. We're in a relationship and He's making Himself known to me. Verse 23, He says the same thing basically. If anyone loves me, he will keep my Word. And my Father will love him and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Again, here's the relational. I'm going to make my home with him. And so this is part of abiding in him. The one who is speaking to us in the Word is our faithful Master. Every word is true, so we believe it. And His Word is always good, so we obey it. Oh no, you don't obey it perfectly, of course. But that's the pattern of our lives, right? We hear and believe. We respond with obedience. And notice just, by the way, I have not separated faith and obedience here as though they were two separate things. Faith and obedience are not two separate things. They're two sides of the same thing. If I believe Him, I will desire to obey Him. And so there's one response we make. We believe His Word and we strive to obey. These always go together. But there's another thing that happens when we hear Him speaking in His Word. A second response we make to God. There is the response of worship and prayer. Do you understand? When God speaks in His Word, why is He speaking? God speaks to reveal Himself. Do you understand that, right? The Bible is not just a bunch of information for us on various topics. The Bible is not just a series of stories and facts about religion. The Bible is God's own revelation of Himself. He speaks here so that He can be known as the person He is. And this is what we find in the Bible. We find God. It is here that we can know and converse with Him and respond to Him. So what do you do when you see God revealed in Scripture? What do you do when you see Him revealed in all of His majesty? Well, you bow down and worship Him. Haven't you had that experience? Every Christian in this room has had that experience. Like Moses at the burning bush and God shows up and Moses falls on his face and worships. Isaiah in the temple and God shows up and Isaiah, woe is me, falls down and worships. But then having heard from God, seen God in His Word, we respond to Him, as Moses and Isaiah both did, with words of our own. Words back to Him. Based on what He said to us, we respond. That, dear friend, is what prayer is. And so here's what I want you to see. We must always keep these two things together. The Word and prayer. God speaking in His Word, us responding to Him with prayer. And again, this idea of a conversation with God has been the thing that has been most helpful for me to keep in mind. John Piper said some really good things about this, as he said about so many things. Let me just read a brief paragraph. He said this, "The Word and prayer, to me, are constantly interwoven. I don't read the Bible more than a minute without praying. And I don't pray longer than a minute without some Scripture on my mind. If I start churning out prayers that aren't pretty much informed explicitly by the Bible, I'm probably going to wind up praying carnal prayers. And if I try to read the Bible extensively without constantly sending my heart up to God, it'll become an academic exercise that doesn't move my heart. I'm not just reading a document about a historical man. I'm reading an inspired word from the living Christ. And my prayers are to a real and living person. This is a conversation. God is telling me what to do, and I'm saying, yes, yes. I'm crying out to Him for help, and I'm pleading for insight. I'm laying my burdens before Him, and He is able to bear them. I love to think of prayer as giving God an opportunity to show off how broad His shoulders are." And so here's the point. The Bible and prayer are inseparable. You really cannot have one without the other. They are, as T.W. Hunt once said, companion disciplines. That means one depends upon the other. And so what I want us to do with the rest of our time this morning is I want to think of some practical ways that we can keep these two things together, both the Word and prayer, His Word to us, our words of prayer to Him. Because here's my question. How can I, you know, you ever write something down, you look at it and say, that sentence makes no sense whatsoever. Here's what I was trying to say to myself. How can I pray in direct response to what I hear God saying in His Word? In other words, if prayer is a conversation with God, how do I join that conversation? And so think with me about prayer as my response to God's Word. And I'll give you four things here, four practical ways that we can enter into that. The first one is this. As you read the Bible, and yes, you ought to be reading the Bible on a regular basis, right? As you read the Bible, read it as the very words of God. Now maybe that should just be something obvious, but I'm afraid really it's often not. So when I come to the Bible in the morning, I want to prepare my heart to receive from Him. And there's certain things sometimes I need to do to accomplish that. I will often pray the words of Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from Your law. I will literally pray those words. God, I want my heart open. Open these eyes so I can see good things this morning to respond to. You notice I'm using Scripture already there. Praying the very words of the Bible back to God. Or maybe I'll pray the prayer of Samuel in 1 Samuel 3:9. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. The point is, I am coming into His presence. I'm coming to the Word with an expectation that I'm going to be spoken to by God in this Word. And I do that honestly, whether I'm getting ready to read the Bible or whether I'm getting ready to hear a sermon. I say, last night as Aaron's preaching, getting ready, I'm sitting there praying, Lord, open my ears to hear something today. I'm coming with a sense of expectation. I expect to hear God speak. I'm now ready to receive His Word and respond with faith, obedience, prayer, and worship. But sometimes, can we talk, just me and you, just a second? Sometimes I have to battle my heart into that condition. It doesn't always come very naturally for me. I'll be distracted with this thing or that thing. And so I come asking God to give me a receptive heart. Psalm 119, verse 36. Incline my heart to Your testimonies. My heart's all cluttered. It's thinking about this and that and Ninja Warrior later and this thing. Lord, bend my mind and heart to Your Word right now. So that's the starting point. I want to be ready to hear God speak with a heart of faith. Then there's a second thing we can do to hear and respond in prayer. Pray along with the Scriptures. Pray along as you read the Scriptures. T.W. Hunt, and you may or may not know him, but T.W. Hunt talks about how for years he separated in his mind these two things, Bible study and prayer, as if Bible study was one activity I do over in this corner, and then when you're finished with that, then you walk over to this other corner and you begin to pray. He said it was a major revelation for him to suddenly realize that these are not two separate activities, that these are two sides of the same conversation. That he should pray along as he's reading, and he should respond to God's promises as he reads with believing prayer. This, he said, made all the difference in my prayer life. And again, you may not know T.W. Hunt, but we had the privilege of knowing him when we were in seminary, and he is without a doubt one of the most prayerful men I've ever known in my life. And in tongue-in-cheek, I say he wrote the book on prayer. He really did. It's called The Doctrine of Prayer. But he just lived and breathed this atmosphere of prayer. He was a really normal guy, but he was just, and this idea of a constant, ongoing conversation with God was just all over his life. But did you notice Piper's saying the same thing here? I'll just read the first line again. He says, "The word and prayer to me are constantly interwoven. I don't read the Bible longer than a minute without praying. And I don't pray longer than a minute without some scripture in my mind." Now, personally for me, this has become one of the sweetest things in my own devotional life as I practice it. To pray along as I read. To cry out to God based on what I'm seeing in His Word. So, for example, I'm reading along and I come across a promise, either stated or implied. I'll claim that promise right then and there in prayer. For example, if I were reading here in John 15 in verse 8, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." I probably would just send up a prayer right there and say, "Lord, I want to bear much fruit. I want you to be glorified. Lord, let the fruit of the Spirit be seen in me. And Lord, while I'm praying, let your fruit be seen in Amy so you're glorified in her and in Kim and in Stephanie. And Lord, in Rockport and in this person and that person." And sometimes it'll stop there and I'll move on. Sometimes I may pray for a little bit just on this idea of God being glorified by bearing fruit through our lives. I would go along in John and maybe come to verse 10 and say, it says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Oh Lord, as Kimberly is working at work today, would you help her keep your commandments when she's under stress? Lord, so that she's abiding in your love, so she's living in this relationship with you where she knows you and senses your presence. And Lord, as Zeke is coming up, would you direct his life so that he will come to love your word and your truth and abide in your commandments and know this expression of your love?" I mean, just those very words will prompt my prayers along those lines. Or maybe there's a warning in the passage. Verse 6. "If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." And that would just provoke me to say, "Oh Lord, I think about the many children of our church, and here they are, and they're a part of this body, but Lord, God, the thought of them being cast away from you and burned and never knowing you for all eternity, oh God," and then I begin to name children in our church that I know are unconverted, or I'll think of my grandson and I'll pray for him, or somebody I've been trying to share the gospel with, and I'll think of them and I'll plead, "Oh God, would you make sure that they would come to know you?" Or maybe there's a statement of truth. I want to pray for understanding and application. Verse 1 of chapter 15. "I am the vine, my Father is the vine dresser." Father, I want to be a part of that vine. I want you to dress me. I want you, Lord, if I need pruning, would you prune my sins? Lord, help me to be cultivated. Help Rockport to be cultivated. Help my family to be cultivated. Help this one, help that one. And on and on. And of course, that doesn't mean I'm always stopping and always praying. But remember, before I even began to read that day, I had asked God to show me what I needed to see today. I'm trusting Him to open His Word to me and to show me what it is I need to know, what I need to see that I would respond to Him with prayer. The point is, I'm keeping my heart constantly open to Him and responsive to Him. Somebody says, "Well, surely that'll slow you down as you read if you do all that praying in the middle of it." Oh, you're right. It often does slow me down. But what's the point of reading the Scriptures anyway? Right? Are you reading just to get past a certain number of verses? Or are you reading to encounter and know and respond to God? Another benefit I get from praying Scripture and praying along with Scripture as I'm praying and being prompted by the words of Scripture is confidence in what I'm praying. You know, we often lack confidence because we're not really sure we're praying according to God's will. Right? We have all these wonderful promises like 1 John 5 that says, "This is the confidence we have before Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." And so we'll say, "Well, how do I know I'm asking according to His will? You know, if only I knew His will for Ryan, I would surely pray that exact thing for Ryan." Well, the answer is pray in direct response to Scripture. Its promises, its statements, its It's words, and you know that you're praying according to God's will. Praying in direct response to promises and statements of truth from God's Word gives me boldness. This is what gives me confidence. This is what John is talking about here. Praying the Scriptures gives a confidence in prayer that is not always there when I'm simply praying out of my own mind. Third thing, as you pray with Scripture, pray the very prayers of Scripture. You know, many times we struggle in prayer because we just don't know what to pray, right? I'm not the only one that's this weak and pathetic, am I? Well, fortunately, the Bible acknowledges this is our problem, right? Romans chapter 8, 26, the Spirit helps our weaknesses. We don't know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He who searches the hearts and minds knows what the mind of the Spirit is because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, the point of that passage is that we need help in prayer. And the promise of God is we have help in prayer. The Spirit Himself comes in and He helps us to pray. He directs our minds. He interprets our weak prayers perfectly into the heart of the Father. But one of the ways that the Spirit helps us pray is that the Spirit, as the author of Scripture, has given us prayers in Scripture that He can guide us to pray. The Spirit Himself is our teacher to teach us all things, including teaching us how to pray. These words are His words, after all. And so if you're not sure how to pray, lean on the Spirit and let Him take you to the Scriptures where He instructs your prayers. A couple of examples. We could, of course, go to the Lord's Prayer, right? The model prayer. Isn't that why Jesus gave it? Matthew 6, verse 9 to 15, Luke 11, verse 2 and following. We can learn to pray from Jesus Himself. The disciples came to Him and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. He said, okay, pray like this. And he gave what we call the Lord's Prayer. And so I submit myself to Jesus as my teacher in prayer, and I learn to pray from Him. That's why the Spirit put this in the Bible. And so I'm reading, and it says, you know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. I turn to the Father and say, Lord, I want Your name to be made holy. I want You to be hallowed in my life and in the life of my family, in the life of my church. And I pray specific things, asking God to reveal Himself in His holiness, to be honored and exalted in my life, and honored and exalted in our church, and honored and exalted in this nation. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Lord, missionaries are going out spreading Your kingdom. Would you allow them what they need today? And I'll pray for specific missionaries. Your will be done. Lord, my friend is struggling through a decision right now. She doesn't know what she should do. Would You cause Your will to be done specifically in her life and in this nation and in our capital and in Congress? Give us this day our daily bread. I pray for my needs and Your needs. I pray for forgiveness of sins and the next petition and on and on. And you know, if you just took that outline alone, which many of you have done, you can pray for half an hour without even breaking a stride because there's so much there to cue your thinking. But of course, it's not just that passage. Far from it. Do you realize that the Bible is full of prayers given to guide our praying? I think of all those prayers of Paul. At least 15 times Paul records for us either prayers he prayed for his friends or prayers he asked them to pray for him. Some 15 times in the New Testament. Think about that. Paul often cried out in prayer to God or asked for prayer for himself. I can't think of a better human model for my praying than the Apostle Paul. And so let's say one day here I am and I'm praying for Nevin. And I don't know exactly what to pray. Maybe I don't even know a particular request he has. Of course, I could text him, and if he gets back to me, I know something specific. But even that's fairly weak because Nevin himself doesn't always know what Nevin needs, right? Just like I don't. And so I turn to one of Paul's prayers, Colossians chapter 1, 9 to 12, being a good example. And I begin to read along as I'm thinking about prayer for my brother. And Paul says, for this reason, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask, first, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And I pray, Father, would you help Nevin as he is, I know he's got some business decisions to make. He needs some wisdom in these. He needs wisdom to be a husband to Paula. He needs wisdom as he's dealing with each of his sons and they're growing into adulthood. Lord, he needs spiritual wisdom and understanding so he can grow in your grace. And I could pray quite a while on that. Next petition, that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects. Would you help Nevin today as he is going through his day? And he's going to face temptations, frustrations. Who knows what's going to come upon him today? I don't, but you do, Lord. So help him please you in all respects. Let him walk in a manner worthy of you. Let him be seen as a Christian man, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Would you give him fruitfulness to his labors today? Would you let him see his fruit and enjoy the fruit? Would you let him see Jesus coming out of him and let others see Jesus in him? And as he is facing this particular situation, and maybe he's told me something and it comes to mind now, and I pray that fruit would be born in that particular situation. Strengthened in all power according to the glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father. I could hit each one of those. You would give him patience, you would give him joy, that you would give him steadfastness to stand in his faith when he's tempted to give up and to toss in the towel, that you would cause him to be thankful and grateful to you today. I mean, I could probably pray for 30 minutes easily just going through those from what little I would know directly about Nevin, but now I'm being informed by the Scriptures on things that are certainly God's will for His people. And so a prayer like this shows the kind of things every Christian need. And as I pray, I'm fleshing out a bit from what I know about Nevin. But suddenly, here's a whole array of things to pray. Things I know to be God's will. Because these are the kinds of things the Holy Spirit has set as an example in prayer for us. And that emboldens me to pray boldly for Him. And so there are the prayers of Paul. And we get back to the church, I've actually got a list I printed out to me one time of all the prayers of Paul, just spelled out, and they're just, I use them sometimes for the purpose of prayer, and I can give you a copy of that. Or some of you who love a good book, D.A. Carson has written a book called A Call to Spiritual Reformation, Praying with Paul. I'm about a fourth of the way through it, and so far it's really, really good, as you might expect. Prayers of Paul, not just the prayers of Paul, go through the Bible. Ezra prayed, Nehemiah prayed, Moses prayed, David prayed. And that brings us to the fourth, the last thing we'll look at here this morning about how we can pray in response to Scripture. We can pray the themes that we find spelled out for us in the book of Psalms. Think about it. We have a whole book in the Old Testament specifically designed to lead us in our response to God. 150 psalms that are songs and prayers being sent up to God. Don Whitney has an excellent book, you've heard me talk about this before, called Praying the Bible. And in this, his main focus is on praying the Psalms, some really wonderful practical advice. We went over some of this in our C group. A few weeks ago, I won't go into any of those details that I shared in C group now, but it basically comes down to seeing in the Psalms a pattern of responding to God in prayer, of letting the Scriptures themselves lead you in your praying. And again, just remember that this is what the Psalms are for. This is why the Holy Spirit gave them to us. These are songs and prayers given in response to God. And they are, for the most part, the personal responses of men and women just like you and me who are responding to God. And one of the things I find in the Psalms is I find a wealth of helping me know how to respond to the things I'm feeling, struggling with, fearing, whatever else. Whenever you get in the Psalms, one of the things I love about the Psalms, and I say live in the Psalms, is that every kind of expression you might face, fear, joy, shame, uncertainty, depression, all of those things are reflected in the Psalms as someone is crying out to God in all these various circumstances and responses. I often tell people that in the Psalms, we are given a vocabulary for how to pray and express ourselves to God. And so, I will use the Psalms for this purpose. So again, an example. Let's say one day that I find myself, you ever find yourself here? I really do need to pray. I'm struggling with some things internally. There's kind of a turmoil or whatever else going on in my mind. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's a big decision. Maybe it's just not knowing where to start. And I go down to pray and I realize I don't even know where to begin. I want to pray. I don't even have the words. I don't know where to start. You've been there? Now, back in that promise in Romans, the Holy Spirit intercedes with us, groanings too deep. So there's sometimes the most holy and godly prayer you've ever prayed is, "Oh!" Right? I've been there. But I want more. I want to be able to express. So I will turn to the Psalms. And as I turn to the Psalms and I begin to read, inevitably, I will settle on a psalm that helps me begin to express myself to God. I'll give you an example, which is a really common one because it's easy to see. Let's say that I just happen to fall upon Psalm 23. I begin to pray. I begin to read and pray. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Lord, You are the one who keeps care of me. You're looking over me even now, even though I don't know what I should do. Your word says, I shall not want. That means I'm not going to lack any good thing that I need. Lord, I don't see that right now. It doesn't make any sense, but I'm going to trust in You that that's true. So Lord, You said You're going to provide what I need. Do that now. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Lord, my soul is so turmoiled right now. I'm so tired. I need rest. Lord, I've gone without sleep. I'm worn out thinking about this thing. I don't have a solution. Lord, would You give me rest? Would You give me those green pastures of Your presence? Would You lead me by the quiet waters of Your Spirit? Would You restore my broken soul right now? Would You guide me in paths of righteousness for Your namesake? I don't even know what next step to take right now, Lord. Would You give me the next step? Would You open it up to me now? Help me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Lord, I see all kinds of evil around me. I see all kinds of missed decisions I could make. I see all kinds of struggles. But Lord, You say You're with me. And so I believe that. Father, would You guide me through this valley of the shadow of death? Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Lord, You may need to discipline me. Help me receive that as a child who loves You and respond to it. You may just need to direct me in a different direction. Lord, I'm open to You now. Put me any direction You want to go. I won't do the rest of it. But you see, and I'm rushing here because we don't have a whole lot of time, but line by line, as each line triggers a thought, I will then pray along the lines of that thought, asking God for the same kinds of things, not the details, but the same kinds of things that David is praying for here. Maybe I am really depressed and I turn to the psalm that says, "Oh, why are you distressed, O my soul? Why are you in despair within me? Put your hope in God. Lord, I'm here before You and my soul is distressed. Soul, what's wrong with you? Why can't you taste joy right now? But soul, put your hope in God. God, You are my hope, even when I don't feel it, even when I don't see it. God, I'm crying out to You." Or maybe someone else is in that situation and I'm praying for them, but you get the idea. Do you see what's happening as I'm going along here? I'm not analyzing. I'm not digging for doctrine at this point so I can teach it to somebody else. I'm responding to the very thoughts and words of Scripture, line by line. I'm letting the inspired words of God through David suggest thoughts and words for me. And then I'm bringing those themes up before Him. I'm taking the themes He prayed down in His day and circumstance, and I'm turning them and expressing them back to God in my day and circumstance. And in this way, I will often pray through an entire passage. And if I'm done, I'm done. Sometimes I'm done with four verses. Sometimes I go on to a second and third psalm. This takes a little practice sometimes, but it's such a rich help. And let me just say, it rarely fails to help me. The Holy Spirit comes and provides help. It's rare that as I turn to the Psalms, He does not in some way begin to guide my mind and help me express those things otherwise that I'm really struggling to know how to express. Now, this is a big topic. We could spend a lot more time on much of this, but this is what I hope will be a help to you as it's been a help to me. So just reiterate these two statements. First, to see prayer as a response to God. To see it as the second half of a conversation that He began when He spoke to you by His Word, His promises, His statements, His warnings. And second, to let the Holy Spirit then use the Scriptures to guide and direct your response to God, to help you know what you ought to pray and how you ought to pray. Again, John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Father, we need help in prayer, every one of us here. Some perhaps, Father, are more skilled over the years in learning to pray than others. Some are just beginning to depend upon you daily in prayer. But all of us, without exception, need to learn and need the aid of your Spirit. And so we ask that you would give it. You would ask, Lord, that as we get up tomorrow or have a moment later today, that you would just begin to bring the promises and statements of your word, the prayers of the Bible, the beauty of the Psalms to our minds, and that you would bring it before our eyes, and you would let us be taught to pray in response to your voice speaking in Scripture as we respond with faith, obedience, worship, and prayer. For your sake, we ask this. Amen.